and welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of November 12th. I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and just returned home, Melissa Hansen.
Yes, I have. So my weekend in entertainment was watching TV with a six-year-old in Albuquerque. So, yeah, my entertainment was My Little Pony, Care Bears.
Wow.
After a couple of My Little Ponies, I forced her to put on The Magic School Bus to cleanse my palate.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, so that was it. Me and Haley, you know, watching cartoons.
So you don't get the whole college boys into My Little Pony thing, the whole brony
fad? God. What is wrong with them?
I don't know.
Well, yeah, no, if you were totally high, it might make sense.
Oh, okay. It doesn't make sense if you're not.
Yeah, it's high for My Little Pony to make any sense whatsoever. Ay, ay, ay.
Well, I stuck with animation as well, but on the Disney front. So I finally caught up with the latest Tinkerbell movie, which was Secret of the Wings. Well, you know, and I have to give these guys credit because...
Can I just say first?
Yeah.
It just sounds something wrong with the sentence, latest Tinkerbell movie.
It's a franchise now.
Exactly. That's just slightly crazy to me.
Yeah,
I love Tinkerbell, but the fact that she's, her own franchise now.
Yeah. This was the fourth one, and they've been doing seasonal. So they've been kind of focused on season, and this was a winter season one.
Oh, okay.
And I have to give him credit because this whole concept was hatched under Michael Eisner and when Bob Iger took over and John Lasseter took over the animation side, he went and cleaned house and stopped all of those ridiculous sequels to all the movies being made.
Yeah.
Well, this was going down that path. They were basically doing that with Tinkerbell, and Lasseter said, if we're going to do this, there's some potential here. We're going to do it right. And they have. They've crafted some really beautiful stories, and the animation is fantastic. It's not the cheap animation. This is really excellent quality animation. And this particular story is a little derivative. It's not Sif, it's not anything you haven't seen before, kind of mixed and matched in different ways. You know, you get the Romeo and Juliet of, two families from different sides of the tracks, the summer fairies and the winter fairies, and they can't get together because one will die in one environment and the other one will die in the other environment.
Oh, okay.
So.
You have to hang out in the fall?
No, I guess not. There's a line. There's a log. And if you cross the log, you go from summer to winter.
Okay.
So.
Well, good to know.
I guess they don't really die, but their wings, break. So, I know. It sounds ridiculous talking about it now, but it's actually a pretty decent movie. The other movie I saw, which I missed in the theaters this past summer, was Brave. It was Pixar's latest movie. And it was about here we have another princess. The first, not the first red-haired princess, right? Because Ariel had red hair.
Ariel was.
But the first Scottish princess.
Yes.
And I wasn't overly impressed.
I wasn't. I actually caught it. I talked about it when I saw it on the podcast. But I saw it at the drive-in, so that might have detracted a little bit.
Okay.
But it wasn't bad, but I wasn't, I'm not jonesing to see it again.
Yeah, it was very different. Usually with Disney movies, you have a parent who passes away and the child winds up going on a journey and dealing with those feelings.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, the parent is turned into a bear and the bear...
and the other parent tries to kill it.
Right, exactly. But the parents are there with them the entire time. So it was a very different kind of... It's not a road movie, right? Because they're... And it's kind of a buddy movie, but not really.
I usually like things that can't quite be labeled.
Yeah.
But I think that detracted from this one.
Yeah, and then you had the whole four clans fighting with each other. And
it was odd. It didn't mesh for me.
There didn't seem to be a whole lot of impetus around the fact, except for the fact that you're trying to get the mother to turn back into human.
Yeah.
There was no real villain in this story.
No.
Even the witch who wound up casting the spell was just kind of incidental to the...
Yeah, she was just kind of dopey. She wasn't, evil.
So it was like, I made a mistake and I need to fix my mistake. So.
Yeah, I mean, there were some good lessons in it.
Yeah, oh, sure.
But, of course. Typical. But yeah, it's not bad, and I'm sure kids would like it. And it just... to me, fell flat compared to other things they've done. So
again, the animation was beautiful. I mean, the
Scottish and she has this like crazy red hair.
Yes,
it's all over the place, and the animation was gorgeous on
yeah.
it.
Yeah. So it's worth checking out, but it's definitely not going to be a Pixar classic by any stretch of the
imagination. No, I don't think so.
Going to sit it next to Bug's Life and go back to it maybe some point later in the future.
Yeah.
All right. Anyways, going on at the box office this week, expected news.
Expected, but maybe not expected even this big.
Yeah.
Almost $88 million for Skyfall.
Wow.
Which... again, we've had like number ones in the 20s lately.
Right.
You know, 40 some million was like huge. So yeah, almost 90 million for Skyfall.
Damn.
Opening weekend. And that's just here in the States.
Oh yeah. It's been huge overseas.
Yeah. Yeah. Just as big. And then Wreck-It Ralph is hanging in there. Second place, 33 million, which
pretty
is
good for a second
really
week.
High.
Yeah.
And then Flight, the Denzel Washington movie, 15 million.
Right.
And Argo. Is still there. Not quite 7 million.
Word of mouth. Very strong.
For Argo. And Argo's almost 90 million total. So that is great for Benji.
Yeah.
And Taken 2 barely hanging in there with 4 million.
Yeah. And where did Cloud Atlas come in this week?
Oh, geez. Like 7th, but like 2.5 million. It hasn't even made 23 million total.
We were talking about this offline. I don't understand what happened here. This was a disaster of epic proportions.
Yeah, this is bad.
Somebody's going to wind up losing their job over this thing.
Yeah.
Whoever greenlit it and wound up giving the Wachowskis $100 million to make this thing. It's a good film.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a piss poor film. This is
it makes me sad that it hasn't done so well, but it makes me sad because like I don't know what's going to happen with their career.
I don't know. They may have to go the indie route for a while.
I think they're going to have to because I think all the goodwill for The Matrix, when they've just been given, like, here's money, go do what you want, I think is going to be over.
Well, and let's be honest. The first Matrix film was great. The sequels were garbage. Then Speed Racer was a great-looking film, but it was terrible.
Yeah.
So their track record isn't all that great.
No, and, yeah, they're just not going to be able to do whatever they want. With at least that amount of money anymore.
Unlike the Twilight folks, as there's people camping out around the country waiting for this thing to open this coming weekend, Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 2, I don't know. I'm proud to say that I haven't seen any of these films.
I haven't read them either.
I mean, no offense to people who find them fascinating or whatever, but I've kind of burned out on the whole vampire thing.
Yeah, it's not my thing, no. So...
And the other movie of note that's opening this week, it opened in limited release last week, but it's opening wide, is Lincoln, Spielberg's biopic of our 16th president.
Amazing.
Yeah. Well,
the
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Amazing in it. Yeah, Daniel Day-Lewis playing Lincoln.
And Sally Field playing Mary Todd.
Exactly. And if you've seen stills from it or seen the trailers, whatever, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It's at first you're like, what? It's amazing casting.
So maybe what you do is a double feature with Lincoln and Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Yes. I mentioned, I'm like, hey, Lincoln's coming out. Do you have any interest in seeing that? And the response is, wait, Vampire Hunter, that one? I'm like, no. There's a different one. Spielberg, Daniel Day-Lewis, huge, big. Right. So I don't know. Maybe they need to get the word out a little bit more about this.
Yeah, a little bit confusing. If you're not going to the box office this week and you want to see what's coming to DVD and Blu-ray, head over to DVDvert.com, click on the DVD releases tab. And for November 13th, we've already got Brave, which we've talked about. More Pixar stuff in their Shorts Collection, Volume 2. And if you like animated shorts of any sort, you've got to... This is a must-own. I have the first collection, and I reviewed it for Verdict. These are excellent little stories, self-contained, 5, 6, 7 minutes. And it's basically the training ground for Pixar. What they do is they give a director or a storyteller an opportunity to kind of prove themselves in a short format. And if they do so, then they wind up going on to make big feature films. So,
yeah.
The Miners. Look at that. Bill and Ted is coming to Blu-ray.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, which I didn't realize. Somebody pointed out, there was some cartoon I saw somewhere that Bill and Ted use a phone booth to time travel, just like Doctor Who.
Yes.
I guess I never made that connection, because Doctor Who Series 7 Part 1 is also coming to DVD and Blu-ray this week.
Ooh, okay.
Which, on first viewing of these five episodes, which is kind of wrapping up the Amy and Rory story. I know, it is sad. And introducing the new companion, somewhat. I wasn't impressed the first time I saw it. Then I went back and watched them again, and I found some more redeeming value in them that I didn't see the first time. So, definitely worth checking out. I'm curious, knowing what a Doctor Who fan you are, to see your thoughts on these.
Yeah, I didn't have access to BBC America regularly. So instead of watching a couple and not being able to watch them, I'm waiting.
Yeah.
Well, so I can watch them all together.
Yeah. As we get to the Christmas episode, they're going to be doing major marathons on BBC America. So you'll be able to watch them all back to back. There's a Harold and Kumar collection in some designer tin. Is there really that much of a demand for something like this?
This thing, can you believe how big this thing got?
Is it Neil Patrick Harris that wound up pulling this thing?
Yeah, it's crazy how big this thing became.
They're stoners.
It's just that they made any sequels at all. It's amazing. But yeah, it's a big thing. And there's like all kinds of versions and releases and like this.
I don't know.
It's crazy.
I don't get it. The Incredible Mel Brooks, which I talked about last week from Shout Factory. Big release this week, Lawrence of Arabia's 50th anniversary on Blu-ray. David Mayan's massive epic, which I have not seen in a very long time, and I'm very interested to see how it looks in high definition.
Yeah.
It lists Amazing Spider-Man here, but as everybody seems to know, it streeted last Friday, so that's already on the shelves and available. And two other items of note, Oliver Stone's Savages, which was about the two Southern California kids who wound up creating a rival for the drug cartels in Mexico, with Selma Hayek playing a Mexican drug.
Yeah, this had quite the cast in it.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, really varied, but some really big names and really some great talents.
Yeah.
So.
And Ben Stiller, Vince Vaughn, and Jonah Hill in The Watch.
That just went nowhere. It was bad timing, too, for it.
I'm sure it'll do well here as a
first. Yeah, this is more of a DVD. Get drunk with your buddies and put it on kind of thing.
Well, and you might want to stick with DVD this week because there ain't nothing going on in streaming. Netflix, we've got Reanimator, which was the H.P. Lovecraft indie horror classic. Voltron Fleet of Doom, if you were a fan of the 80s anime dubbed Voltron anime series. There's the feature film version that's hitting Netflix this week. And Like Crazy, which was a Sundance Award-winning love story of an American man and a British woman. And it was Anton Yelchin, and Jennifer Lawrence is in this. So.
Mm-hmm.
Over on Hulu, there's even less. Amy Acker is in a Lifetime Christmas movie called Dear Santa.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Where a lonely girl gets a new mommy for Christmas.
Oh, my. That's pretty much like every other movie.
Yeah, pretty much.
Lifetime, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, all those in the Hallmark Channel. That is all that's going to be on Lifetime and the Hallmark Channel. That's all my mother's going to be watching for the next month and a half till Christmas. Is Lifetime and Hallmark and all the sappy movies.
Oh, there's a lot of them. Here's one for you. If you're a fan of Smallville, Erica Durance, who played Lois Lane, in Atomic Ivan. It's a love story that takes place in a nuclear power plant.
Oh, of course it is. That's where the best love stories take place.
Yeah, well. That and at Christmas time, a nuclear power plant at Christmas time.
Excellent.
And then we've got Unicorn City. So you know LARPers, that live action role play, the people who dress up and run around the park and...
Yeah, actually, no, I don't.
Eric reviewed a
I'm fine with that.
Film for us about that. And apparently this one's called Unicorn City, and it's where the LARPers go and create their own utopia.
All right, then.
And that's all that's available on streaming this week.
Oh, that's, yeah, excellent.
So I'll throw it over to you for TV.
Okay, well, ABC Family's Harry Potter Marathon is beginning Monday. Ooh. And running through Thursday this week. So you can check it out on that. And then also on Monday, Showtime, Oliver Stone's Untold History of the United States.
Ooh.
This is basically what he was born to make, because he put all this crap into his movies.
Huh.
So anyhow, his version of our history.
All right.
Last century.
Great.
son. And then NBC, the show we've all been waiting for to return, Whitney.
Ugh.
Is back.
Brother.
Friday on CBS, there's a special. We Will Always Love You, a Grammy salute to Whitney Houston.
Oh.
She gets her own special.
It's a little late for that, isn't it?
People crying over her and singing her songs. So, and then talking about music, Sunday on ABC is the American Music Awards.
Oh, boy.
So, everybody who's into top 40, whatever, can watch that, and I won't even know half the people.
So that's a Ryan Seacrest show now, right? Because that was a Dick Clark thing. I think Seacrest took over all of his stuff.
Yeah, I don't know, producing-wise.
Yeah.
Who's in on it?
Okay.
But anyhow, all the big acts will be there.
I'm sure.
Sunday night. Speaking of big acts in music on CDs and MP3s, One Direction's latest, Take Me Home, is out. And then Green Day, Dos, they're doing Uno, Dos, Tres, like three albums coming. So the second one is out.
Billy Joe wound up getting in some trouble.
Yeah, they had it. Well, they ended up canceling the end of their tour. Okay. And he's in rehab. He had a meltdown on stage.
All
and
right.
Finally hit bottom enough to take himself to get some help.
Gotcha.
So, and then Christina Aguilera's long-awaited. No, probably not. But Lotus is the name of her new album.
Well, we see her every week anyways, right?
I know. So, who cares? And then, but long, long awaited, really, this Christmas, it's one of the latest Christmas albums coming out. This is the Olivia Newton-John, John Travolta one.
Oh my God.
How freaking cool is that? I'm
wow.
sorry. That is so neat.
Huh.
Oh, well.
Just
and then
don't look at a picture of him because it's very frightening.
Oh, yeah. He, yeah, has not aged
no.
so well. She looks as gorgeous as ever.
Yeah.
But, oh, anyhow, Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 2, the soundtrack is coming out this week.
Of course it is.
Two for whatever team you're on. You can all agree on the soundtrack.
Yeah.
So, and books this week. Did I mention his name last week?
John Patterson.
But this is actually one of his. This isn't slap my name on it and make some money and you can sell your books. James Patterson, Merry Christmas, Alex Cross.
Oh, is this the one that they're making the movie out of?
No, the movie kind of bombed, but this is a new book. So if you're a fan of Cross, hated the movie, you can check out the new book and hopefully that will make you happy.
Nice.
And then, okay, ready for this title?
Ready.
Roll Me Up. And Smoke Me When I Die, Musings from the Road. It's a memoir by Willie Nelson.
Oh, jeez.
And Kinky Friedman did the foreword.
Nice.
Yeah, quite excellent. So, Kitty Kelly, the famous biographer,
yeah,
has a new book, but it's a little bit different for her. It's called Capturing Camelot.
Yeah.
Stanley Treacherick's Iconic Images of the Kennedys.
Ooh.
He was a famous photographer.
Hmm.
That was sent to take pictures of JFK.
Okay.
And they ended up becoming friends, and they gave him full access to the White House.
Wow.
It's actually his photographs, and Kitty Kelly is just doing a little bit of writing to go along with them.
Oh, all right.
And then with Skyfall coming out, we have the James Bond Archives. Paul Duncan is the editor.
Okay.
But it's actually all kinds of stuff from Eon Productions, from the production company of the Bond movies. They opened up all of their archives. So storyboards and behind-the-scenes photos and production materials and all that kind of stuff. And he went through and picked out some of the best stuff. So huge book, all of the Bond films through Skyfall.
Nice.
Yeah, so all kinds of behind-the-scenes stuff that we usually don't get a look at.
Right.
It's available in that. In theater this week, it's actually off-Broadway. It's Classic Stage Company. It's New York. It just opened this past weekend. Ivanov, one of Chekhov's plays. But it's directed, you will appreciate this. It's directed by Austin Pendleton.
Oh, nice.
Who's Chicago Boy, Steppenwolf member.
Yep.
And an actor, you guys will recognize him. He's a great character actor. But anyhow, he's directing it, starring Jolie Richardson.
Oh, wow.
The fans of hers. but starring Ethan Hawke, too.
Uh-huh.
It's a short run. It's only through December 9th. So all you big Reality Bite fans, head out to New York and you can see Ethan live and in person.
Sweet.
Yep.
Well, you know, we usually start off entertainment news with some sad stories.
Yeah.
So Selena Gomez has dumped Justin Bieber.
Yes. And he actually performed Justin Timberlake's Cry Me a River about his breakup with Britney. Bieber performed it.
I forget who saw it. I think it was Michael K over at D-List Cities. Like, the fact that we're actually talking about two kids breaking up is a sad comment on our society.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So.
Anyways.
We'll see. The story is it's not actually over because he still wants her back and whatever. They may work out. So don't lose faith, people. They may make it through.
Well, if you followed the saga of Taylor Swift, who also has her own relationship dramas, speaking of the Kennedys and things like that, she's actually going to headline Ryan Seacrest's New Year's Rockin' Eve this year on ABC.
Okay.
Vice President Joe Biden, as if he does not have had enough screen time lately before the election, he is making his sitcom debut this week on Parks and Rec.
Excellent.
And I guess Leslie has a major crush on him, so that's how that story is going to play out. Even though CBS's Elementary is tanking in the ratings, they have put it into the post-Super Bowl spot.
Yes. Hopefully this will help. It's a good show, people.
Yeah.
It's really good. Johnny Lee Miller is great in it.
Well,
it's
you know,
just watch him.
He's great in everything. We both liked Eli Stone.
Yeah, he really
short-lived
is talented. But you get to hear his sexy British accent.
Well, talking about European accents, Adam Sandler's Hotel Transylvania is getting a sequel because it made a truckload of money at the box office.
Insanely well.
And it really was a good film. It was very funny. Like I said, the best Adam Sandler movie in years. Mark Wahlberg is taking over the Transformer franchise from Michael Bay with a story set 4 years after the destruction of Chicago and hopefully the last time anybody will ever see Shia LaBeouf or Rosie Huntington-Wheatley. Here's some, you know, we talked about Star Wars and Disney buying Lucasfilm. Well, Toy Story 3 screenwriter Michael Arndt has been anointed, to write the Star Wars Episode 7. Based off a treatment he submitted well before the announcement of the purchase.
Okay.
And Brad Bird is being rumored to direct this film.
Mm-hmm.
So Brad Bird doing Star Wars is probably a fanboy's wet dream.
Yeah.
And we'll see if that plays out. But he is currently prepping his next film, which is a sci-fi thriller called 1952. Co-written by Lost showrunner Damon Lindelof, and George Clooney is going to star in that one.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I've got for entertainment news.
Okay. Well, Europe, look out.
What?
Kim is in town.
Oh, God. And they're
tripping all over herself, actually. But Kim and Kanye they were in London for a bit, and now they were just in Germany because it was the MTV Europe Music Video Awards.
Mm-hmm.
And Kim presented Carly Rae Jepsen's for best song.
Oh, jeez.
Call Me Maybe One. But so anyhow, Kim presented and she totally tripped going up on stage and didn't hit the ground. But
okay. No face plant.
Didn't quite face plant. That would have been excellent. But didn't. But yeah, so they're all over Europe right now. And in case you all were wondering, I know you all have been.
What?
Beauty and the Beast is her favorite Disney movie. She tweeted, watching Beauty and the Beast while glamming up for the awards, this is probably my favorite Disney movie, along with Aladdin.
Oh, jeez.
Now we all know.
There you go.
Yeah, really, how many of her fans do you think went and watched Beauty and the Beast?
Oh, of the the millions of Twitter followers she has, I bet half of them did.
I bet. I will bet you. That it would be interesting, streaming or whatever, if Beauty and the Beast, went through the roof.
Yeah, right, because she said... Well, what did they say? How much money does she make for tweeting things? It's some ungodly $100,000.
Well, she gets paid. This is the thing. I mean, not all of her tweets, but she actually gets paid money to tweet about products.
Yeah.
Like thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Just to send a tweet about a product.
We have people working minimum wage, 40 hours a week, and she gets thousands of dollars just to write 144 characters or less. That she probably doesn't even herself write because she doesn't know how to write a complete sentence.
They just use her Twitter feed and send out like a little ad, but pretending it's like from her. Like, I'm using this product. It's an ad, people. It's an ad. She's getting paid to say that.
Wow.
Anyhow.
All right. Anyhow, on that bombshell, we will bid you adieu for this week. We'll be back next week as we head headlong into the holidays at breakneck speed. But until then, Melissa Ann, take it away.
The red lips that burned under the moonlight. If you are leaving, I will let you go. Passionately. Passionately. Goodbye.